So that's Sinn Féin representing their view this morning. We've got to say that both the DUP and UUP can't find anybody to represent the unionist view on this programme this morning, which is in itself, if you think about it, why would they not want to be protecting you if they see you as having voted for them on the airwaves this morning? What on earth is going on to that respect? And because the DUP, etc., don't come on, doesn't mean that we can't ask questions of them. So let's ask those questions of Arlene Foster, for example. So she's gone within a couple of weeks of saying there's nothing to fear from Irish language to a standalone Irish Language Act would humiliate unionists. She says a standalone Irish Language Act would humiliate those who believe in a British way of life. So, Arlene, for those who believe in a British way of life, how would an act that simply protects the Irish language humiliate them? On what circumstances would it humiliate them? An Irish Language Act compared to people sitting on health waiting lists, Arlene? You're going to stand and fight it? And meanwhile, the health service continues to deteriorate? George and Craig Avant, first call of the day. Morning, George.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, it's really what I told the girl in your programme. It's about making us feel not wanted in Ireland, which we do feel not wanted in Ireland.
So you're a unionist, George.
I'm a unionist, and I mean, it's not the last straw, but it's one of the last straws. It's knocking it into us. As I told John O'Dowd on your sister programme way back at the time of the election, when he gets into power, we have had it. Protestants has had it in Northern Ireland. And you know yourself, the papers were showing at the last election, Northern Ireland was split between orange and green. And all the orange has is part of Antrim and part of County
Down. What do you fear from a standalone Irish Language Act?
What's that?
What do you fear from it?
Well, I mean, there's no call for it in the first place. Because I mix with different people, and I never hear anybody talking Irish. And is it going to be put all the signs up on all this expense? And nobody cares about me lying in the hospital, can't get an operation, can't get a thing. Oh, Anita was in Craig Avenue. Well, my wife was in Craig Avenue at 3:30 in the morning. They have no staff, they can't do it. It's Sinn Féin. And another thing, you know as well as I know, Stephen, it wasn't consented by the DUP. On St Andrews, it was Tony Blair gave it to them. I'm sure Tony Blair gave everything. He just, I mean, sure he was a disaster for Protestants.
Well, essentially what Sinn Féin are saying here is that if an agreement was made with them, yeah, they're going to insist upon it. That's
I know,
not,
but they
that's
don't
not,
care about
that's
the people
not novel.
They don't care about the children at school. But they don't want this country to work, Stephen. You're going to have to get that into your head when you're interviewing them.
Well, Michelle O'Neill gave a speech, was it 2 weeks ago, when she addressed that very point and said it's complete nonsense. Of course they want Northern Ireland to work.
Because they're what she said.
Because their friends and their families, they live here.
I know they live here, but they want to bring this country down. Sure, Paisley said it was a great thing, the agreement. They said it was the first step to united Ireland, and now they're looking the second and third and four steps. We've had it. Protestants, true unionist Protestants, has no idea. Sure, Ruth Dudley Edwards has it in the paper that we've had it here.
Paul and Ardoyne, stay there, George. Paul,
okay, go on ahead.
Morning to you, Paul.
Stephen, you hit the nail on the head earlier when you turned around and said that the head of the Orange Order was against it. And that's precisely the problem. This place is still run by the Orange Order. And those days are over.
Edward
they
Stevenson.
Have got to stop.
Edward Stevenson, the Grantmaster, wrote, it was in the newsletter, I believe, he said, when language is used as a cultural weapon by political republicanism, it clearly becomes a threat to our identity and community.
This is nonsense, and he knows it's nonsense. And the point being,
well, why is
what
nonsense?
They really want is to go back to a Protestant altar for a Protestant people. Pre-69 days. Those days are gone.
Do you
They're
not
coming back.
From the point,
sooner or later, the Orange Order has got to realise that their days of domination are finished, gone entirely, and they are not coming
talk about,
back.
You talk about days of domination. You heard the thrust of my interview with Sinn Féin this morning, which was not about domination. It was about an act that would protect everybody in Northern Ireland, no matter what the language was. In other words, no language would dominate the other. And yet Sinn Féin are insisting on having a standalone act that only protects one language. How's that not domination?
They're insisting on nothing more than what England, Scotland and Wales has.
Different political context.
Cornwall has, for that matter, too.
Different political context, as you well know.
Nothing to do with political context.
Of course it is.
It's to do with the fact here that it's the Irish language and that the Orange Order, under no circumstances, will accept that sort of thing. Simply because of their bigotry and their hatred of the Catholic population of Northern Ireland.
Obviously, the Irish...
And that's what it's all about.
Obviously... The Grand Master and indeed the Orange Order would reject that.
Of course, he'll reject it, but it's a fact.
Well, what's a fact in your head is not a fact in others. Sammy Morrison, Paul, maybe you want to stay there because Sammy Morrison, TV spokesperson with us this morning. Good morning to you, Sammy.
Good morning, Stephen.
What is there to fear here from an act that protects a language? Like, what's the big deal?
I think there are a number of points that need to be made in relation to Irish and how there is something for unionists to fear in it. The first point that I would deal with is the analogy that's drawn between the situation in Northern Ireland and the situation in Wales or Scotland is completely bogus. If you ask the average unionist in Northern Ireland what Irish words do they know, they may come up with, they may have to think about it, but they probably do know a couple of Irish words. Among them would be Sinn Féin and Tuckey Ar Laugh. Both of them are Republican slogans. Both of them are associated with a movement that bombed and shot its way into a position of power in Northern Ireland. So to say those sort of issues arise in Scotland and Wales is nonsense. That's why there's a fundamental difference.
What have you to fear? What have you to fear in the future, Sammy,
what do I have to fear from an Irish language act? As was explained on your programme quite well over the last 2 weeks, and I think what has happened on the Nolan Show, where they've dug into the detail, of an Irish Language Act and what it might contain, has maybe toughened up the DUP a little bit on the Irish Language Act. I hope that's happened. But let me give you some solid examples of what unionists have to fear from an Irish Language Act. If a litigant in a court case has the right to demand that the court case is entirely heard in Irish, that will put people who are non-Irish speakers at a distinct disadvantage when looking for employment in the court service. In Northern Ireland, whether you like it or not, Irish is associated with one section of the community. Therefore, Protestants, people from a unionist background, will be disadvantaged in getting certain jobs in the court service if we go down that line. Secondly, as Sinn Féin have made clear in a policy document which they produced outlining their vision for an Irish Language Act, they wanted affirmative action for people inside the civil service who were Irish speakers. Again, that will discriminate against people who are non-Irish speakers. It will put them at a distinct disadvantage when looking for positions in the civil service and for advancement inside the civil service. And thirdly, inside Sinn Féin's proposals for an Irish Language Act, they had called for an Irish Language Commissioner, which would create a new criminal offence of refusing to cooperate with the Irish Language Commissioner on issues. And so we're talking about bringing in, about bringing in an Irish Language Commissioner which has the power to haul people before the courts unless they follow the agenda. And to make one final point, if you give people a right in law, the expectation would be that people are going to be in the courts ever expanding that right and giving it more scope than it was before.
How do you react to that, as a caller to our programme, Paul, fighting for the Irish Language Act, does Sammy Morrison not make a powerful argument there?
Not in the slightest. He doesn't make any argument whatsoever. All he does is show his entire hatred and bigotry for the Irish language.
Well, that's not... No, he does not. And Sammy Morrison, you'll want to respond to that.
I would like your caller to tell me why I shouldn't be concerned about people who cannot speak Irish and have no interest in learning Irish. Don't mind that other people learn Irish.
It will not affect you in any way.
But the point that I'm making is, why should the fact that I have no interest in learning Irish, why should the fact that I have no interest in my children learning Irish put them at a disadvantage at looking for employment in the civil service or the courts.
How do you know that it's going to put them at a disadvantage?
Well, Sinn Féin do want affirmative action.
Yes, I can understand the civil service. Action. It doesn't mean that every single person in the country has suddenly got to convert to be an Irish speaker. So that's nonsense.
They don't do it in Wales.
They don't do it in Scotland. They don't do it elsewhere.
Don't make it an issue here
because you're trying to make it an issue.
Hold on. Let me bring in Janet Mueller, who is the director of the Independent Irish Language Advocacy Organisation, POBL. Hello, Janet.
Hi, Stephen.
Good morning to you. Why not? Well, do you support Sinn Féin's position that rather than having an act that which protects all languages, it's got to be a standalone act that only protects the Irish language?
Well, I think, we need to unpack some of these ideas. When you say an act that would protect all languages, are we saying that it would protect the English language? What are we saying here? I think it's very easy to throw these terms around without them actually meaning anything very much. The reason that the Irish language needs to be protected is that because it's an endangered language, even though we have a very vibrant and dynamic community. And it's a language that can regenerate disadvantaged areas. It can be used as a lever to bring in additional funding. It has educational benefits. It has health benefits for both young people and old people.
People could say this about any language.
Yes. Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, what's wrong with that is that Sinn Féin, and you aren't either, saying, well, listen, let's bring this all together and enshrine it in one language act. Ulster, for those people who passionately care about Ulster Scots, why is their language not being protected within the same act?
Because I think that it is impossible, and this is what I mean about unpacking this concept. If you said, for instance, that you needed legislation to protect the Irish language at the level that the Irish language is at the moment, which is what you do need, Ulster Scots is not at the same developmental stage.
But legislation, no, Janet, because legislation could never talk about a language being at a certain level.
That's exactly what it does.
Well, it wouldn't within legislation, would it? What legislation would protect would be the right for people to speak it, to be heard in it, for street signs, for affirmative action around it.
Yes,
Every single one of those aspects could be said about Ulster Scots as well.
Well, an Irish Language Act would say, for instance, it could say that parents have the right to have their children educated through the medium of Irish. Now, that is achievable at the moment. And it's ongoing. If you said exactly the same thing for Ulster Scots, I think there would be a problem there.
Why?
Because there isn't the capacity within the Ulster Scots community, and there may not be a demand for education.
Well, but there may be a demand, and the capacity could be created.
Yes.
So what's the problem?
It can't be done at the moment. So if you create an act, which is what you're saying, let's just say the same thing about all languages. You simply confound the issue.
Let me bring in Alex Kane and Dahi Mackay this morning, two political commentators. Alex, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Dahi, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Alex, do you think this was a slip-up by Arlene Foster talking about the Irish Language Act, a standalone act, humiliating unionism, or do you think she meant to say it?
I think she quite clearly meant to say it, but you have a point. Somebody mentioned it earlier, Steve, might have been yourself, that it seems to be a shift from her speech a week and a half ago when she was talking about, you know, no one has anything to fear from the Irish language. It's no threat to the union. We can embrace it. We can do something together. What has happened, and I was writing about this on Friday, what has happened, Stephen, there's been an opinion poll which has come out which said, through Lucid Talk, which said 66% of DUP supporters are 100% behind No Irish Language Act. 50% when asked the question, if the DUP decided to shift on that policy, would you support them? 50% of those people said they wouldn't. When you're in the middle of a talks process, Stephen, when there's a possibility of yet another assembly election, Arlene got spooked, the DUP got spooked, they suddenly realised, because Arlene in particular, as will Peter Weir, Simon Hamilton, people who used to be in the Ulster Unionist Party, they will know what happened when David Trimble tried to take the Ulster Unionist Party away from public opinion. I think that's what's happened now. And it's worth bearing in mind, Dahi will know this as well, that same opinion poll said that 70% of Sinn Féin, people who describe themselves as Sinn Féin voter supporters, 70% of them said they would not support Sinn Féin setting up an executive in the absence of a standalone act. That's the problem you have now.
Tahi, do you, when you hear the likes of Sammy Morrison, who's representing the TUV today, and Tahi, you will be aware of what the Grand Master for the Orange Order has said, people like Sammy Wilson saying this is an impossibility, Arlene Foster using the word humiliation, the Ulster Unionist Party saying that this will not, cannot happen. Do you not think that there's a massive PR job that Sinn Féin needs to do in the fear, the genuine fear that there is within the unionist community towards an all-dominating Irish language act?
Well, I think the problem is that the fear is being generated by unionist politicians themselves and the Orange Order. And I think that most definitely Arlene Foster's tone has changed considerably in the past couple of weeks after the comments from the Orange Order. So I think there'll be a lot of concern there how quickly unionists still respond to the Orange Order in terms of some of these issues. But I do think that what needs to be flagged up is the level of scaremongering that has been taking place. There have been comments made that every school and every child will have to be educated through Irish, which is quite frankly ridiculous. And those making those comments are old and should be wise enough to know better. But I think it's interesting the comment that Arlene has made about British rights and this is a British way of life that has been intruded upon, because you know the rights of the Irish language throughout the rest of Ireland is perhaps an Irish way of life, but now on the island of Britain, it is a British way of life to protect minority languages such as Gaelic in Scotland and such as Welsh. So it actually is a British way of life now to protect minority languages such as Irish.
Can you see how you're using the word plural there? Protect minority languages, except Sinn Féin's policy is to protect one language, the Irish language.
I don't think that's the case at all. I mean, certainly from my personal perspective, I've never had an issue with Ulster Scots.
Actually, let me roll back on that, because that is unfair of me. It's not Sinn Féin's policy to protect just one language, so that's unfair of me, for which I apologise. But Sinn Féin is only currently asking for one language to be protected within an act, and that's the Irish Language Act. The clue's in the title.
But the scepticism within the nationalist community in its entirety is the fact that we know, and certainly I know, that many within the DUP do not give a fiddler's about the Ulster Scots language or dialect or whatever you want to call it.
Well, that's deeply offensive to those people who do.
Yeah, well, that is the opinion of a lot of DUP members. And, you know, Arlene Foster and the DUP have previously used the example of the Polish language. I think it was prior to the March election, in which he said, why should we not have a Polish act as well? So I think the Ulster Scots has been used as a red herring to a certain degree to prevent the promotion of Irish.
Alex?
Well, I actually agree with Dahi's point. I think I have a sympathy with the argument that a lot of people within unionism, and I'm not being offensive here, but a lot of people within unionism don't actually care about Ulster Scots, Stephen. They don't recognise it as a language. They see it as a dialect. They don't mind the cultural aspects, the pipes, the dancing. They don't mind that at all, but there's no. I have heard no particular desire over 30 years of monitoring this, Stephen. I'm not knocked down by people coming up and saying, Alex, we must have an Ulster Scots Act, we must do it to protect this. And so that's not happening. But on a bigger scale of this, I think this is, however you cut it, whatever both sides say about this, it comes down to the pure and simple us and them. For unionism, it is seeing the Irish language, however it manifests itself. And let's be honest, Stephen, Dahi's right as well. We have no idea. We have you and I talked about this last week. We have a document that Carolyn McCullion put out when she was minister with some idea. That's not going to be incorporated wholesale into an act. There would be huge conversations. It could take years to work out the exact nitty-gritty, not simply the costing, but courts, civil service, schools, street signs. There's a huge debate to be had there, Stephen. I think it's worth saying, I've said this before, it would be good, actually good, if Sinn Féin said, here is what draft legislation, let's assure you and assuage some of your concerns, we're not asking for this, this and this, we're simply saying this, and we genuinely
don't...
Well,
we've asked them for that, and they, of course they won't give it to us, but
that's
they have
the point,
said
they won't
that Carolyn Cullen's proposals are form the basis of what they want. One final question, because I've got to go to the news, Alex. John O'Dowd just touched upon it. He just happened to mention it in passing this morning when he talked about gay marriage. Do you think that the DUP are prepared and to allow gay marriage, for want of a better phrase, in Northern Ireland, be it that they won't implement the petition of concern, that they won't fight against it. Is this all down to the Language Act now? Or if that was agreed, would it move to gay marriage?
Well, again, if we, my point about the opinion poll's view in the Irish language, it's a similar opinion poll view on gay marriage, same-sex marriage within unionism. Ireland will be reluctant to shift on that basis because there are no votes in it for it. And that's the problem. But same-sex marriage, Irish language, in terms of votes, which is what it all comes down to, Stephen, there are no votes. It's much more difficult now, oddly enough, than it was about a month ago. I think that getting a deal now is...
Okay.
A month ago, it was possible. I think it's now becoming impossible.
Okay. Dahi and Alex, thank you very much indeed. Thanks. Sammy Morrison from the TV, before we let you go this morning, this phrase, a British way of life that Arlene Foster used, do you identify with that? Is it not an Ulster way of life? Or what is a British way of life?
I think it's for Arlene Foster to explain her own language and her use of terminology. So that's probably a better question put better to her, but there is no doubt that Sinn Féin see this issue as a means of undermining the British identity of Northern Ireland. I mean, you just have to look at the IRA Bible, the Green Book, and it talks about using Gaelic as a bulwark against imperial encroachment. And I mean, that's the mentality here. It's about stripping anything that is British out of Northern Ireland and sending a message to the people who do not identify as part of the Irish language speaking community, who I respect and have time for. They can educate their children in that language. It's well funded. They have a executive body with North-South, a North-South executive body with powers to promote the language of all of that. But what I object to is it being forced upon the population that have no interest in it and see it as an alien
culture.
It's not
being forced upon them. In what way is it being forced upon them?
It would be under an Irish Language Act, under the model proposed by Callan McCullen, or the model proposed by Pubble. You had a representative of that organisation on there as well, because the Sinn Féin document draws heavily from the Pubble document.
Okay. Well, we don't know what the Sinn Féin document draws from because they won't let us see it, of course.
Well, you've already said that Carl McCullen's proposals a couple of years ago are forming the basis of the Sinn Féin talks position.
All right.
And that document will mean that there will be a disadvantage to non-Irish speakers who are Protestants in courts in the Northern Ireland Civil Service, and they could potentially be criminalised by an Irish language commissioner.
Sammy, thank you very much indeed. Right, to your calls now this morning. Gerry and Derry. Morning, Gerry.
Morning, Stephen. I think you're missing the point.
What's the point?
Well, the point is very simple. Agreements have been reached in the past, and if people do not stand by the agreement that were reached, how can we trust them to stand by an agreement that they make tomorrow?
Unless
they honour the agreements that have been previously made, both in the Good Friday Agreement and the St Andrews Agreement, that an Irish Language Act would be brought forward, how can we trust them to implement anything they say today or tomorrow? It's about honouring commitments made. And if you don't honour the commitments made in the past, how can we trust them? They honour the commitments they make today.
Gerry, thank you. Stephen and Antrim. Morning, Stephen.
Hi, good morning. It's a pity that John O'Dowd has left this conversation. John O'Dowd was the last of a number of Sinn Féin education ministers. From the restoration of devolution and from the Good Friday Agreement, they have launched an onslaught, an attack on our education system, particularly against grammar schools. It's amazing that no one has raised the point, but it is in those Catholic grammar schools and all grammar schools that Irish is taught. And it's, you know, I heard Sammy Morrison talk about the funding and so on. There is no issue about the speaking of Irish. In fact, John O'Dowd had the opportunity this morning to come onto your programme, and he could have spoken entirely in Irish. That might have made a point. But I think what I'm calling to
what
identify,
they're calling for is for the protection of Irish language.
And how would they protect the Irish language
by removing grammar schools where Irish is taught, Stephen.
Well, that's not what we're talking about this morning, Stephen,
is it?
Well,
it is what I'm talking about.
I know, but it's not what we're talking about.
Stephen.
It's not
Don't
an education debate this morning.
Okay. Now, why is it that Sinn Féin want to attack grammar schools and at the same time ask for a standalone Irish Language Act?
Stephen, thank you. The Councillor John Scott. Morning to you, John.
Morning, Stephen.
Independent Councillor John Scott. Go ahead.
Independent Councillor, yep. Stephen, there is no need for the Irish Language Act. When I was mayor last year, I visited lots of Irish-speaking schools. Crumlin, Toome, you name it, they're there. Over the last two terms of the Assembly, $170 million has been spent on Irish language.
If there's nothing to fear, then why not protect it in legislation?
Stephen, I don't fear it. It doesn't fear me at all.
So why not let it be protected?
I've done a whole speech in Irish. Stephen, once that happens, Sinn Féin will get something else. Sinn Féin's ploy is lots of their members, not Sinn Féin, but lots of their members, bombed the heart out of Northern Ireland for 40 years to try and get their way. This is another way now. They don't want Northern Ireland to work, so they'll not have a government. Now, but if you go onto the Falls Road, the Shankill Road, or anywhere, ask the ordinary people, would they rather have an Irish Language Act, or would they rather have good health, good education, jobs, good housing? That's what people's worried about. Not an Irish Language Act that it's already there anyhow. They're being funded.
Well, if you look at Sinn Féin's mandate, they've got a sizable mandate. Therefore, they're representing a community, and they were very clear passionate they were about the Irish Language Act before they stood for election.
When people go round, the Sinn Féin goes round the doors, I can guarantee you there's not a lot of people coming out and saying, oh, will you get me an Irish Language Act? I mean, I can say a few words in Irish, so does that mean I speak Irish?